The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Fearless Friday with Jeff Parry.
Joining me now in the studio on Friday, as is his wont, is Channel 7 senior reporter Jeff Parry. G'day, mate.
Hello, mate. What a big week it's been. We've had Mark McGowan nuking the upper house voting system, and now in the next 10 or so years, we're going to have nuclear submarines parked off our doorstep.
Yeah, exactly. It's a massive, massive change in the power structure of the region.
Sure is.
Both out of the West Australian region and the Indo-Pacific region. Let's start with the West Australian region and these proposed changes to the upper house. For people who came in late, explain to us what's going on.
Well, they're now making it that we will be voting in the upper house, which is where this whole push is really. Whereas we used to have six regions, three of those metro, three of those regional, they're being scrapped so that we will all vote now on a basically a single whole of state electorate. So if you think of the Senate, where, you know, you're voting for a party, a Liberal Party, National Party, ALP, once they get a quota, they get a member in. Next quota, they get a member in. And that's pretty much how it's going to work on the voting system. But it does away with that sort of weighting towards regional voters who, you know, for forever and a day have had that sort of that special position where their vote has been worth more than a city vote.
Which has been, I guess, very useful to the country party, the Nationals, and it's helped the Liberals as well. And it's really prevented Labor from getting a majority in the past of both houses. They did this time around, and they're using it to now push through these changes to the upper house. And so going forward, because, you know, let's be clear, there's nothing that anybody can do about it, really, is there?
No, that's the unsurprising thing.
They've got a super majority. Both houses under Mark McGowan's control. So going forward, with these changes, you could find that now there's potentially an unlimited amount of Labor upper house members.
Well, it certainly works in the favour of the party that gets most votes, at any particular election. Now, Labor until now, and it's been in extraordinary circumstances leading up to the last election, they've managed to get control for the first time at the upper house. So it's no surprise that they're doing this. It's not a surprise. I mean, you know, there's arguments about whether McGowan was honest about it or not, but, you know, at the time he didn't know, I'm assuming that he couldn't know that he would win such a massive majority and get control of the upper house for the first time. So I don't think anyone's really surprised that he's bringing this in. But, the National Party, the Liberals and National Parties, and occasionally, you know, they had to govern with crossbench support. They've had, you know, balance of power, but largely it's been the province of the Liberals and with the support of the Nats to be, you know, a house of obstruction, if you like, when there's been a Labor government in the lower house, or it's allowed them, when they've had majority in the lower house, to sort of sail their, you know, legislative program through. So this is Labor now levelling the field, if you like, and saying, well, it's an undemocratic system in the upper house. We're going to level the playing field, and that's exactly what they're doing.
And so, but what do you think it does mean for democracy in WA? Because it's all well and good for the Labor Party right now, but, you know, there could come a time in maybe 100 years when the Liberal Party in WA has relevance again, and then they could have a super majority if they become so popular. You win the lower house, win more seats in the upper house. So could you just get a situation where it just oscillates from one party having total control to another party having total control?
Well, that's the thing that's, I mean, the changes are actually an improvement on democracy. One vote, one value is a better system than someone having more votes than someone else. Now, in the past, Labor has never had control of the upper house, but the Liberals and the National Parties have. And that's been the system that's always, you know, by the way it was set up, prevented Labor being able to to put forward its legislative plan. They've been voted for, the majority of people to say, yes, we want Labor and we want the policies that you espouse. They can't always get them through the upper house because they've been blocked. Now, what Liberals and Nationals, of course, say, well, is this is a house of review. But it's also a house of obstruction, in terms of Labor being, you know, in the majority party. So, does that mean that now that those changes have come into effect, that we could do away with the upper house. Well, Queensland's done without one, you know, quite easily. But, you know, that's probably very unlikely. But at least at the very least in this case, Labor will say that, you know, we're able to put our legislative program through. We're not obstructed by the weighting of votes in the upper house, and this is the way that it should be. Now, you know, Mr. McGowan was obtuse when he was asked several times.
He was asked several times before the state election about this.
And because as a journo, as one of several journos, or, you know, a dozen journos who were there at these press conferences, no one thought, you know, that this wouldn't happen. If they got...
Well, I think his exact words were, this is not a priority for my government.
And he couldn't foresee that he would be in the position to do it. But, you know, he certainly seized the moment, and he will cement himself in Labor Party folklore as the man who delivered, you know, one vote, one value, and gave them the opportunity to have, you know, the power in both houses of parliament.
And what does it mean for people in the bush?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, the fact that I'm sure they don't go sort of walking down, you know, the main street of the only street in a small country town and saying, I've got six votes. I'm sure they don't think about that at all.
Don't spend too much time thinking about it.
And they're losing something. They're losing that advantage, that, you know, or this perceived advantage that they've got a say, you know, in rural issues. I mean, that sort of really comes down, I guess, to the parties. The National Party is going to be stuffed, but, you know, for the Liberal and Labor, you know, how many people... they're going to put up a raft of people to stand for, you know, for election. And it's up to them to, you know, choose people who represent the regions and who live out in the regions. You know, that's all sort of part of what they're going to have to do. But, I mean, the rural people are certainly losing an advantage, but that advantage, you know, supposedly to the disadvantage of people in metro areas who only have the one vote. I mean, if one vote, one value is a fairly well established concept, and they don't have it in Western Australia in the upper house, and they soon will.
Yep, soon will for sure. And now let's talk about the nuclear subs. It's really, everybody's talking about it. Joe Biden's talking about it. He couldn't remember Scott Morrison's name. Do you reckon he did actually have that brain fade there?
Yeah, I think he had a brain fade.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah. There are some people who are kinder than we are, Ben, who suggested that he was you know, joshing, having a little joke. But no, I think he had a brain fade.
Yeah, well, you know, when you get to that age. Mm-hmm. But Beijing have now come out. And what did you make of their response?
Oh, probably typical.
Yeah.
You know, they don't like us. They're posturing. The interesting thing is, if they punish us again... you know, by
what's
taking,
left to take away?
Correct. Well, but whatever they take away, America seems to pick up. They got our barley contracts. You know that they seem to sort of just, you know, in the trade sense, they just move in and replace us. So there's an advantage to them. But that aside, you know, I think most people would think this just makes sense. The last submarine contract, the one with the French, was an absolute schmozzle. Not necessarily all the French's fault, but also, you know, defence is a, you know, a basket case.
What were they going to be, croissant powered?
But I think this makes sense. I think, you know, I can remember I covered the protests back in the 70s, in the 80s, when the Americans used to come here from, you know, for R&R, the Pacific Fleet would come down and, you know, half a dozen ships would pull in, including an aircraft carrier, and 10,000 you know, sailors would get off, for their R&R, and they used to love it because they'd bring all, you know, US dollars, and but there was a lot of them, hardcore sort of anti-nuke protesters who said, you know, we don't want you here, and they would protest in numbers, and, you know, there's still sort of certainly an anti, you know, the people here would think that we, you know, will still be a target, and we will. What are you prepared to accept these days? The 70s and the 80s were now in the 21s, you know, so it's a different time.
Yeah, it is a different time. Once upon a time, we would have looked at Chinese rhetoric today where they said, now because of this, Australia's soldiers will be the first Western soldiers to waste their lives in the South China Sea. And you'd look at that and go, geez, that's a bit over the top. But then you remember our politicians are the ones talking about the drums of war.
Well, China's certainly muscling up and they're militarizing. There's no doubt about that. I mean, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you'd look at them and say, gee, they've got a lot of people. They're probably, they were weak militarily because they couldn't project themselves out, beyond China, and now they are building a chain of islands through the South China Sea, and they've got hundreds of ships now. They've got two aircraft carriers. They're building another couple. They're still about 18 behind the US, so there's a long way to go. But they're muscling up, and they're. They want to be major players in the world. They'll probably in the next few years economically overtake the US. Mm. So they can't be sneered at.
No, definitely not. You sneer at them at your own peril, that's for sure.
As our farmers and producers have found out.
Exactly. So, yeah, we'll wait and see where this story with the subs go. There's plenty more to be talked about, that's for sure. And now plenty more to be talked about the grand final as well. It's all anybody's going to be talking about next week. So if you're a politician and you've got some news that you don't really want to be dissected publicly, I reckon next week is a great time to do it. So, Roger Cook, if you're listening, you got a few health department things you want to sneak under the radar. Yeah, next week with the grand final on the way, it's probably the time to do it.
Yeah, and you've got to admire those hardcore people who go and sort of sleep out at the box office, and you haven't seen that for a little while.
Are you going to be working on the day for Channel 7?
Not on the Saturday. I will be on the Sunday. So I'll
what are you doing for grand final?
I don't know yet. But I am going to barrack for the Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah.
Because Footscray, which was the predecessor to the Bulldogs, used to be my VFL team when I'm a Subi man here in the Waffle, but I had a Victorian team and that was the Bulldogs. So,
well, it suits your sting for the West Live.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to stick with them.
Now, are you going to hang around for the Wild West?
Love to, mate.